Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Nun Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 7 lines from the top of Daf Nun Dalet. We started the new perek at the end of our previous shiur, and the Mishnah set the theme that the kinyan of Yibum, the marital arrangement or the marriage between Yavam and Yavama, is accomplished through intimacy, even if there is no mitzvah intent during that union between surviving brother and widow of deceased brother. The Gemara at this point wants to find sources for that. Hence, the Gemara asks, "Mino hanimili the tanu rabbanan." What is the source of that which was taught that all kinds of intimacy, even without specific mitzvah intent, are effective in concretizing the yibum marriage? The pasuk says, "Yavama yavoi aleha mitzvah." That means that the choice of Yibum over Chalitza. Chalitza is the process whereby we release the widow from the restriction or being restricted to the Yavam and enabling her to marry anyone she should desire. So we choose Bia as the better option, in other words, that the brother-in-law should marry the sister-in-law over freeing her to marry someone else. Dovar acher, yavama yavo aleha. Another drosha, another approach to this pasuk is that when the pasuk says the yavam comes upon her, they unite through intimacy, regardless of state of mind. Bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, bein b'oines, bein b'rotzayin. Whether it be unintentional, whether it be with frivolous intent or harlotry in mind, as we call znus, whether it be beyond control or be it willingly. The Gemara asked, how can you take the same pasuk, Yavamo Yavu'alel, and have it serve as a source for these various types of mindset when the pasuk was already used to teach me the mitzvah, the ho afikte le mitzvah, which we saw at the beginning of this source, where we said that the Yavam, confronted with two choices, either marry her or release her, better to marry her. And that's what was derived from the verse. The Gemara answers, La mitzvah, that particular point of choose Yibum over Chalitza, mivim lo yachboitza ish nafka, where the pasuk presents it as a second choice, that if the man does not want to marry her, then they do chalitza. However, if he should desire, which is the first choice, then he should do yibum. He should have intimacy and thereby acquire her, marry her as his wife. V'chi'osokra, the pasuk of Yavama Yavoi Aleha, that is to teach me bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, bein b'oines, bein b'rotzon. All the different types of intent or lack of intent are still effective. Tanya idach, we have another Tanaic source. Yavamo yavo aleha, kedarka. V'lokha equals shelo kedarka. V'yivein, bia gomeres ba, v'yein kesef ushtar gomrim ba. V'yivmo, the pasuk actually says v'yivmo with a hey at the end of the word, which we learn bal korcha. So in this source there were a number of different points, and the Gemara will go over these points as we go on in the Gemara. However, the source told us at the outset, yavama yavo aleha means that if they cohabit kedarka, with the normal way of man, male-female cohabitation, in the, we'll call it the style of reproduction, that is effective, and velocha means that even, literally, and he takes her, that indicates, even if he has relations with her in the non-procreation fashion, through the, we'll call it the other orifice, nevertheless, it is effective in creating the yibum bond, or the yibum marriage. And v'yibeim indicates that the only method of truly establishing the yibum marriage is bia, gomer espa. Intimacy is what does it. V'ein kesef ushtar gomer ma, as opposed to other marriages between regular man and woman that are unrelated to one another, unconnected, where you can offer, man offers woman money, or through a document they can establish their marital status. In the case of Yibum, it's on a Torah level, only through intimacy. And the hey at the end of the word, V'yidma, indicates even against her will. Even against the widow's will, the Yibum marriage is established. And this, by the way, is in, again, in contrast with standard marriage, where the woman has to accept. It can't be against her will. Against her will is known as rape. Omar Mar, here's a quote from that which we saw above. We have a little arrow on the side with which you can align this quote from where it originally was seen. Dover Acher, Yavomo Yovo Aleha, Bain Beshogeg Bechule, Faha Afikte Likadarka. Was it not so that Yavomo Yovo Aleha, we just saw in this most recent source, that it was used for telling me that through normal relations they established their yibum marriage. The Gemara says that point is learned from somewhere else. Hahu milahakim laachiv shem nafka. The pasuk describes the purpose behind yibum in order to establish the, literally, the name or the memory or the continuity of the deceased brother who left no children. So the hope is that through marriage with the surviving brother, the widow will produce children. Lahokim lahokiv shem. And from that we see that yibum is accomplished b'mokom shemekim shem, through the female bodily orifice through which that becomes possible. And that's what we call bia kedarka. The pasuk of Yavama Yavo Alel was, as we saw earlier, Bein B'Shogeg, Bein B'Mezid, Bein B'Oynes, Bein B'Ratzon. So as we look over the last few lines of the Gemara, since we're at the beginning of the Shir, so you can see that the pasuk Yavama Yavo Alel was thought to teach me three different things, when in fact, at the end of the day, it's only teaching me one point, that is mitzvah. As far as the other limudim are concerned, the Bein B'Shogeg, the true use of Yavomo Yavo Aleha, that is for Bein B'Shogeg, Bein B'Mezid, Bein B'Oynes, Bein B'Ratzon. As far as L'mitzvah is concerned, that's from V'im Lo Yachboitz Ho'ish. And as far as Kedarka is concerned, that's learned from L'hokim L'ochiv Shem. Gufa, Omar Rav Yehuda. Now, this is a quote from that which we had seen at the end of our previous shiur, where Rav Yehuda said, and this is a quote from the top line that we, by using the arrow, you can align this with the regular arrow at the top. So Rav Yehuda taught us that in a sleeping state, a man who has a kishui erbo, he has an erection, and he actually bonds in an intimate fashion with the Yavama, but while he is asleep, that does not create a yibum marriage. Gufa, Amar of Yehuda, Yoshein lo kona biyavimtai. The Omar Kra, the Pasuk says, Yevomo Yevo Yaleha, Ad Demechavein Lo L'Shem Bia, that the marriage is not consummated unless he has this level of intent, meaning that he has intent for intimacy. As far as what we discussed earlier, all kinds of non-marriage intent, that is not binding. But in all those cases, there was an intent for the act of intimacy. While sleeping, you lack even that minimum level of awareness. The Gemara asks, "V'hatanya, but do we not have a source that says bein er bein yoshen, whether awake er is awake or even sleeping? It says sleeping in that state, it does nevertheless work." The Gemara says, "Ema bein era bein yeshena." The emphasis is on the woman. This is in the feminine form of speech, where even if the woman is asleep, that's not a binding factor. The Yibum marriage is still concretized because he was awake. V'hatanya bein er hu bein yoshen hu bein era he bein yeshena he. Well, in this source, you see both genders are alluded to, and the main problem is from that which we dashed underline, where yoshen hu, the source is saying whether he is awake or even if he is asleep, it works. So how do we resolve that with Rav Yehuda, who says yoshen lo kana? The Gemara answers, Hocha b'mayaskino, this Tanaic source that gives credence to a bonding or a marriage while asleep, that's b'misnamne. That's in a state of dozing, not actual full sleep. Hechi domi misnamne. What is how can we describe that state? Omar Rav Ashi, nim tir velotir. He's dozing, that's nim is to be asleep. So he's asleep but not really asleep. Tir is to be awake but not really awake. Kigon de koru levioni. It's an example of that. If you call out the person's name and he answers, he responds to hearing his name. Velo yoda la dure swar. But if you ask him something while he's in that state of consciousness to explain something to you, to say something that requires explanation, he won't be able to do it. V'chi midkaru le midkar. But midkaru means to remind him. But if you remind him of something that was said, so that he will be able to do. That's as far as a literal translation is concerned. But for our purposes, what we're describing is a state of partial awareness. Well, if a man is in that partial state of awareness and he conducts intimacy, that is enough. If he's fully asleep, that's what Rabbi Yehuda was talking about. Yoshein loy kona b'yivim. So it doesn't concretize the Yibum marriage. The Gemara, as it goes on, is a new point, something that had been seen at the end of our previous year. We have a little star to the side of the Gemara text. You can align it with the star above. We also have a topic heading on the side. Nofal min hagag v'niska b'yivimto. Person who had achieved the state of kishui ervo, the male erection, fell off a roof and landed in an intimate position with the yevama, who was down at street level. Gufa, Omar Rabba, Nofa min agag v'niska. Person fell off a roof and that resulted in the intimate insertion. Chayov barbo dvorim. The result of that is that there are four forms of tort compensation that must be paid, and they're listed. If you just skip three words, they're listed: benezek, betzar, b'sheves, b'ripui. The brackets, as we just demonstrated, helps to make the reading a little smoother, because the reference to the arba dvorim is, as we just demonstrated, with the numbers 1 through 4. Also, before we go on with that, we skipped the expression ubiyavimto lo kona. We also knew that if he ended up together with the Yavama as a result of falling off the roof, it does not acquire, in the case of a Yibum marriage, it doesn't cause that Yibum marriage to be realized. So the four things that were mentioned by way of tort law Nezek is damage, Sar is the pain, Shevis is the unemployment, and Ripoy, medical expenses. Avol, Boishes lo mechayev. In other areas of damage where a person damaged someone else and they experience embarrassment, so a payment is made, compensation is made, that's called Boishes. Boishes literally means embarrassment. So they call it the embarrassment fee or payment. In this case, that is not paid. The Omar Mar, Ein Chayav al HaBoishes ad Shiskavin. It has been said that the obligation to pay for Boishes, for paying for embarrassment caused to the victim, is not to be paid until there was some type of intent. Here a person fell off the roof. He didn't have any intention of causing any harm to the person below. So that as a result of damage caused through a situation like this, Boishes is not paid. Because of what the Gemara just said, there's no chiyuv Boishes ad sheyiskavin, until there's some level of intent. Omar Rava, niskavin lehatiach b'koiso vehitiach b'yavinto lo kono. If a person had intention to we'll call this, do this sexual act with a wall, and instead of inserting himself into the wall, he ended up inserting himself into his sister-in-law, the Yavoma. Well, that it does not acquire. However, if someone had an intention, lahatiach bevehemo, as unpleasant as this may sound, but that's what the Gemara is describing, someone who has an intention to have some type of intimacy with an animal, and he ends up doing it with the Yavoma, the hitiach bevehemo kona. It works. She is acquired. The Yibum marriage is accomplished with that. That is an act of that involves intent to accomplish intimacy. The act done with a wall is not called bia. That's not called intimacy. Might be some kind of other immoral kind of behavior, but it's not an act of bia. We call it a sexual act. However, that which would have been done with an animal, and it turns out that he did it with the woman, with the sister-in-law, since the original intent was with an animal, that is called bi'ah. Echon ha'ma'are. Now we have a sugya that is quite involved, great amount of detail here, and the topic heading with which we open this Gemara is Minayin Lehara Min HaTorah. Our Mishnah made reference to Echad HaMa'ara VeEchad HaGomer. Gomer is to finish off. It's a more complete level of insertion, male insertion. Ma'ara is less. Now exactly what these are, it depends on what opinion we end up citing. There are a number of different approach to this matter. So the Gemara opens up with this question of from where do we know that hara, that partial contact, is considered halachically speaking, with almost no exception, there is one exception, but halachically speaking is considered full insertion, full intimacy. The immediate topic is, of course, consummating the Yibum marriage. However, this issue has ramifications, as the Mishnah indicated, with regard to forbidden relations as well. What does one have to do in order to be considered violating on a Torah level, we'll call it the sexual intimacy with a forbidden woman? We say forbidden woman, that will include a woman that is prohibited to the man to the tune of a lav, a negative command, and there are more serious types of offenses that were in the realm of arayas, where the punishment is kores or even possibly court execution. But all of these different cases involve intimacy. What defines intimacy? Let us be a little, we'll be concrete for a moment. Say a man kisses a woman. well, the halacha does not condone a man kissing a woman other than one's wife. As far as other kinds of relatives, there are some that we might accept, overlook, or tolerate, we'll say, but in most cases, that would be strictly forbidden. However, to suggest that there's a kores penalty or a court execution based on a man kissing a woman, a forbidden a woman, that's not the case. It's forbidden, whether it's a prohibition on a Torah level or on a rabbinic level. That itself is a discussion that deserves separate attention. But that's not intimacy. That's not say sexual connection. So what defines intimacy is what we are going to be preoccupied with. And we, as we said before, I'm just repeating here that even if it's not a full male organ insertion, nevertheless, the avera, the prohibition, is violated, and that, as we said, carries with it all the penalties that we described before, as well as the possibility of establishing a yibum marriage. Note, by way of markings, we have a long point. Omar Ula. We also, by the way, have a little note, a double-starred note. Let's read that note together. Simanu nekuda aruka. We have used a long point marking. Laharois oirech hachipus lemokul la'ora. Shu mamshich ad omid beis. We're trying to show the length of the search for a source, that partial insertion is considered full-fledged contact. The Gemara, Omar Ula, Minayin La'ara Minator. From where do we know in the Torah that Ha'ara is considered a full form of intimacy? Shinema. Now, we have a numbering system, Roman numerals 1, 2, 3, and we'll make reference to the different psukim later on in the course of our discussion, so it's important to note the how we've highlighted the different psukim. So, Shinemar, V'ish asher yishkav es isha dava, v'gila aser vasa es mekoira he'era. The pasuk refers to a man cohabiting with a woman while she's experiencing a female blood flow. And in describing that, you see that the word he'ora is used. Mikan la'ara minatora. So from here we see that even something that's not full-fledged sexual insertion is nevertheless considered as such. Ashkecha nida. Well, this pasuk, as we said, refers to the woman experiencing her monthly flow, which we call the nida. So, in the case of having relations with her, so the ha'ara form of relations is considered a violation. Sha'arayas minai. From where do I know other forbidden women that the same thing would apply? But now, he has a new marking structure. Under the Mivneh heading on the side, the trapezoid shape is featured. This is a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a back and forth type discussion. The narrow part of the trapezoid or volcano shape, when it's facing upwards, that is considered a raya, a proof to what we're seeking right now. And the inverted form, pircha, it's an undoing, a challenge, a refutation. Yesh lehoir, we want to point out, she chipus lemokul la'ara mamshich ad omid beis. The search for this continues till the next omid of Gemara. V'lamros sha Gemara mevi'a shloisha psukim. Even though the Gemara in the course of discussion will highlight three psukim, and we mentioned this before, the sofa shadav at the end, however, kol ha'arayas nilmadu miposuk aleph. Means the first pasuk, aposuk shel nida. After all is said and done, we're going to be learning from the first pasuk, the pasuk that we cited with regard to nida. Amid Beis, HaGemara, Tevarer, Ma Melamdim Shar Pesukim. On Amid Beis, the Gemara will find what the other Pesukim were actually teaching us. So at this point, we're looking for a source that Ha'ara, partial insertion, is considered full-fledged contact with regard to other forbidden women, the other Arayas. The Chitema, the Gemara continues, third wide line with the upright trapezoid. Nelef Mini, though you might say, let us learn from Nida, let Nida serve as a precedent. No, Nida cannot serve as a precedent. Ma Lenida, Shekein Metama is Boyala. The Nida has a stringency that you don't find in other cases, and that is that after, as a result of the intimacy with the Nida, she imposes Tumah, ritual impurity, upon the man that entered her. Ela, Asya, May Eishesach. Let us derive Ha'ara by other Arayas from the case of what the Torah says about a man having intimacy with his brother's wife. Dichtiv ve'ish asher yikach es isha es eishes achiv, a man who attempts to bond with the wife of his brother, nida he. Literally, the pasuk says she is a nida. Well, that means she's a menstruant. V'chi eishes ish achiv le'olam nida he. Is that true that one's brother's wife is always a nida? That's absolutely untrue. Part of the month a woman is nida, part of the month she's not. Ela kenida. The use of the word nida is a borrowed expression. It's to say that the eshes achiv, the wife of one's brother, is like a nida. Ma nida bara, just like intimacy with a nida is violated even with the partial insertion. Af eshes ach bara. So too, that is the case, and this is an example of other arayas. That's what we think right now, that eshes ach, wife of brother, is an example of a forbidden woman, and we learn from the presence of the word nida in that context that ha'ara, just like by actual nida, is a violation, so too by other arayas. Challenge, pircha, ma li eshes ach, you can't learn from eshes ach. Shekein biyodoi l'rabois. The nature of Eishes Ach, brother's wife, it's a type of relation, type of relative that it's in his power to increase, to multiply. The boy mekadesh biyozil. Let's read that again. The bodish, the iboi, mekadesh v'ozil ki alpha. If he should so desire, he can marry 1,000 women, making many eshes ach women. The Rashi says shekein biyodo. Rashi is a little less than halfway down the Rashi commentary. He says shekein biyodo shel odom l'rabo yisnoshim harbe al ochiv be'isur eshes ach. It's a kind of relative that can be multiplied. So that is unique to Eishes Ach, as opposed to a mother. One has only one mother. It's not something that you can increase. A sister is something that she is your sister. The person cannot make more sisters. It's not in a person's power to do that. But Eishes Ach, if a man decides to marry more and more women, all of those women that are married to your brother are an Eishes Ach. So it's a different situation, not similar to other arayas. Elo, asyo, me'achois av v'achois ein. Let us derive that he'ara is a form of recognized as a complete form of intimacy from what the Torah says about father's sister, mother's sister. Dichtiv ve'ervas. Achos imcha ve'achos avicha loy sigale ki es she'ero he'era. So here we have a pasuk dealing with mother's sister, father's sister, and the pasuk warns against intimacy with them, and the intimacy is described as ha'ara, which is known as partial contact. And with through partial contact, one, even if it's partial contact, one will have violated this particular prohibition of achos imoi and achos aviv. The Gemara says, no, I can't learn from the insertion, partial insertion over there. Ma l'achos of the achos aim, she came isur habo me'elov. We look at Rashi, shekein isur habo me'elov, u pshot mino imo v'achoso v'ito v'chayosu b'hem. There are other relatives that become usur on their own. However, v'lo tifshot mino arayis ha'ne'asoros lo machmas kiddushin. You can't compare, let us say, these kind of relatives that automatically became your relatives as opposed to people that became women that became also prohibited to you based on you, someone taking an initiative. For example, a mother-in-law. You know, how did she become prohibited to you? By your taking the initiative of marrying a woman. Her mother becomes also to you. So you can see there's a difference between the other, we'll call natural relatives, and those relatives or forbidden relations that are a function of your having taken the initiative. So at this point, we're still seeking out a source for Heara by other forbidden women. Mechada lo asya. From attempting to cite as precedent any one of these, we saw Nida, we saw Eshesach, and we saw Achosimo, Achosaviv. From any one of them, I can't derive that Hera is a problem by other relatives. And why can I not derive it? So the Gemara points out in each case why. What was unique to Nida is unique to Nida, doesn't apply by the others. What that which is unique to Eshesach doesn't apply by the others, and likewise, Achosav and Achosaim, it has its limitation. Tesi Chadomitarti. Why couldn't we derive the other Arayas, we'll say, by the Torah stating two? Once again, by stating one case of Hara, so we saw you can't rely on stating one case. Because the one case, whatever one case you cite, will have its unique factor. Why couldn't the Torah state two of them, and from between the two, let us derive the third? Let's even, maybe just to say this, to repeat the point in a more accurate fashion, the Torah found it necessary to spell out Hara by Nida, by Eshesach, and by Achos Eim Achos Aviv. Was it necessary for the Torah to spell out Hara by each one of them? Couldn't the Torah have written just two cases, and I'll derive the third from that? And that's now what the Gemara continues with. Tesi chado mitarti. Derive one, let's call it the third one, from stating two. Now third doesn't mean in the order that the Gemara presented, but rather simply by stating two of the examples of Hara, the third could be figured out. So mehei tesi. From which two should I attempt to derive that Hara is considered a bia? And not state the third, and it could be derived. So let's try. Let's see if we can accomplish that. Tesi me eshes ach v'achosa v'achosem. Let the Torah, as it does, state Hara by eshes ach, brother's wife, and mother, father, sister. The sister of mother or sister of father. No, that won't be effective. And by the way, if I state those two, I will, the Gemara is attempting to say, state those two and leave out Hara by Nida. So the Gemara says, you can't, you won't be able to derive nida from them. Ma lahanoch shekein asurim mishum she'er. Those are different because they are relatives that are called she'er. She'er are, we'll say, natural family relatives. You wouldn't be able to derive from them, let us say, a married woman. The prohibition of having intimacy with a woman married to some other man. That she's also, she's forbidden, but she's not called she'er. She's not called a relative. So how would I know? Ha'ara by eshes ish, for example. Ela tesi minida v'achos av'achosein. Let the Torah write the prohibition of intimacy, even if it's just ha'ara, by the case of nida and by the achos av'achosein, and I would be able to derive others from them. No, the Gemara says ma lahanoch. Once again, I can't derive others from them. Shekein, what's unique to them? Shekein, isur haba me'elov. These are prohibitions that come on their own without you having taken any initiative. Nida is the natural bodily function that the woman experiences, a blood release on a we'll call the monthly cycle. That's not something that anyone initiated. And likewise, achosav achosem, you're born into this world where your father happens to have a sister, or your mother happens to have a sister. You didn't do anything to establish that prohibition. That's an isur haba me'elov. There are a host of other forbidden relations, other arayas, that happen only as a result of your having taken the initiative. For example, one's mother-in-law. How did she become usher? Because you did something. You married her daughter. Or if you married a wife and she has a daughter, that's called bas bina, or that's called bita, the daughter of your wife. In order for that girl to become usher, you had to marry her mother. So you cannot rely on nida and achosa v'achosein as a source for ha'ara by other forbidden relations. Ela tesi minida v'eshesach. Let the Torah state ha'ara by nida and eshesach, and everything else would be able to be derived from them. Demai parches. What is there left to challenge? Any objection that you might raise with one of them, the other one will serve as a response. The Gemara says, "Maskiflo Rav Acha Breid Ravika Ma Lenida V'Eshesach." You can't derive other prohibitions from Nida and Eshesach because there is something unique to them that you don't find necessarily by others. Shekein ein lohem heter b'chaye oisron. There is no permission while that which prohibits them is still around. There is no permission for them. We glance at Rashi toward the end of the Rashi commentary. B'chaye oisron kol zman shehu chay v'hi shofas. What makes a eshes ach usser, wife of brother? The fact that your brother is alive, she, his wife, is forbidden to you. So, as long as he is alive, she is usser, she's forbidden. With regard to the nida, as long as the blood is flowing, so she is prohibited. Those are examples of people that as long as the element that prohibits them is extant, you have no access to that woman. We continue in the Gemara. Toimar b'yeshes ish. Would you say the same thing with regard to a woman, a married woman? Shekein yesh lo heter b'chaye osra. What makes a married woman forbidden to you? The fact that she has a husband. Does he have to die in order for the Eishes Ish to become allowed to you? No. If he divorces her, so he's still around. So Eishes Ish is a case of an individual. The woman has a heter. She is accessible b'chaye oisra. When that man, the husband, is still alive, if he divorced her, you can marry that woman. So the case of, by stating Heorah, by Nida and Eshezach, won't allow me to derive that Heorah would be a problem by Eshezish. Omar le Rav Acho midifti le Ravina. We have a starred note that we ought to read together on the side of the Gemara. Hasimun kan mar'eh Shapircha nidcha. Ubekach yesh tzorach l'sagnein hapircha acheres. What the Gemara does right now is it's going to challenge the most recent inverted trapezoid. Otu nida v'eshesach b'chaye oisran. Who the ein loem heter aval laachar mikan yesh loem heter? The way the Gemara had structured its pircha to the most recent suggestion of deriving from nida and eshesach, the language the Gemara used turns out to be inaccurate. How did the Torah describe the unique prohibition that you find by Nida and Eshesach, that they are prohibited b'chaye oisron, leaving room for you to think that after oisron they would be allowed? That's not true. Otu, let's read this in the Gemara again. Otu Nida v'eshesach b'chaye oisron hu de'en lameter av alachar mikan yesh lameter. Is that accurate to that which you implied before, that nida and eshesach are usher only when the forbidding factor is extant, but when the forbidding factor is gone, they would be allowed? That's not true. What's the forbidding factor in the case of the nida? The blood flow. Are you telling me that when the blood flow stops, she becomes muteris? That's not true. Nida, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, b'yoyim etalia milsa. Nida and her permission is dependent on days. Let's illustrate that. When the woman reaches her monthly cycle, she might have one day of actual blood flow. The blood flow made her usser, but she remains prohibited not only on the day of the blood flow, but for the next 6 days as well. She is usher for 7 days. That's b'yoyme, with the passage of days, talia milsa, the issue is dependent. So that even if the oser, the prohibiting factor, which was the blood, stops after 1 day, she remains usher. Likewise, eshes ach. We speak about the brother's wife. Isn't it really accurate to say that the brother's wife is forbidden only when your brother is alive? That's not accurate. Even if your brother dies, but he happened to be a man that had children, if your brother died leaving children, his wife remains usher. So that if your brother was the ushering factor, just removing him from the scene doesn't make her muteris. And that's what the Gemara means here at the top when it says Eishes Ach B'Bonim Talya Milsa. Her permissibility is totally dependent on whether he leaves children or not. Of course, if a brother died leaving no children, so then brother's wife becomes mutter. But if he left children, she remains forbidden even after the prohibiting factor, namely one's brother, dies. So, if you want to make the case that you cannot learn from Nida and Eishes Ach, you have to state things differently. Ela Porach Hachi. You would state the Pircha as follows. Ma Lenida. The Pircha is the undoing of Nida and Eishes Ach as serving as precedent for Ha'ora. How would I undo it? How would I undo them as the precedent setter? Ma Lenida of Eishes Ach, Shekein Ein Oisron Matiron. Toimar Ve'eshes Ish. In the case of Nida and Eishes Ach, whatever was the forbidding factor, that does not cause permissibility. However, in the case of a married woman, what is the element that creates her prohibition? The fact that she's married to a husband. That very man, that husband, we'll call the restricting factor, he causes her subsequent permissibility by giving her a divorce document. So I can't assume that Heora is a problem just because it's stated by Nido and Eishes Ach, and transpose that or replicate that upon the case of Eishes Ish, for example. Ela Omar Rav Yoina Vitema Rav Huna Bre Rav Yeshua Omar Kra Rav Yoina. Some versions have Rav Huna saying the. Let's derive from the following pasuk. It says, "Ki kol asher yaseh mikol ha-to'evos ha'ele v'nichrisu ha-nefoshos ha-oisos." This pasuk appears after the parsha dealing with forbidden women. Hukshu kol ha-arayos kulan l'nida. All what the Torah's intent is to compare, and when we say compare, it doesn't mean through a logical comparison. It's a scriptural comparison. And when you have a scriptural comparison, a hekesh, so we don't challenge a hekesh with questions. Hukshuka arayas kulin l'nida, ma nida v'ara, just like nida is considered violated through mere ha'ara, partial contact, af kol v'ara, so too all others are considered violated through even Ha'ra. So what do we see from this? It was necessary for the Torah to spell out Ha'ra by Nida, namely the first pasuk that we quoted in this section of Gemara. And that combined with this, with the Hekish, that all other arayas, all other prohibited relations are compared to the case of Nida, which was cited in the Roman numeral number 1, I derive the understanding that Ha'ora is a problem by all other women. So if that is the source, what am I to do with the other psukim? We have psukim number that we call number 2 and number 3. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. You can see a diamond is featured. And we've written, Me'achar Sha'ra Nilmada Me'nida. Now that Ha'ra is derived from Nida, Ma Bo'im Shar HaPsukim Shuvu Bo'amid Aleph Melameid. What is the purpose of the other psukim that were cited on Amid Aleph? So now the Gemara goes through that. V'Ela Nida, and we should point out that the double underline features the pasuk, or the main element of the pasuk that we had cited before, so that you see a double underline here, and it's accompanied by the diamond at the end of the line, Roman number 2, and in the wide lines of the Gemara, fourth wide line, you see again a double underline, Ha'ra, and followed by the diamond, the case of Achosav and Achosaim. Those were the other two psukim. So the Gemara asks, "Ela nida de ksiva gabi eishes ach lomali." Why does the Torah use the word nida in the context of eishes ach? Originally, we thought it was to demonstrate how other arayas, other than menstrual women, Ha'ra is also a problem. But I don't need that anymore. I have the Hekish that we cited just beforehand. So what is the role of the word nida in the context of brother's wife? Answer, l'chid Rav Huna, it is for the sake of Rav Huna's teaching, or through Rav Huna's teaching, we'll see the purpose. The Omar Rav Huna, and here we just skip the bracketed section because within the brackets the language is not accurate. Rav Huna says, Remez liyavama she'asura b'chaye baila minayin. From where do we know that a sister-in-law is forbidden while her husband is alive? And of course, while he's alive and married to her, so it's clear that she's forbidden. But even if he divorces her, that the fact that she was married to your brother is enough reason for us saying that she is prohibited. So, from where do I know that? You notice we have again a bracketed section. These brackets indicate to skip the contained section, and right after the brackets, the answer to this question will be found. So we're asking, where in the Torah is there an allusion to a sister-in-law being forbidden as long as her husband is alive, even if he divorced her? Now notice we go to the first wide line after the brackets. Omar kra v'ish el asher yikach es eshes achiv nidahi. The pasuk says, a man who takes his brother's wife unto himself, well, she's a nida. V'chi eshes achiv nidahi. This is, by the way, a long answer marking you can see we have here. Is that pasuk accurate, that your brother's wife is necessarily a nida, a menstruant woman? Ela kenida. Rather, it's a word that's positioned in the pasuk for the purposes of analogy. We say that Eishes Achiv, one's brother's wife, is like Anida, Ela Kenida, Ma Nida, Af Alpi Shieshla Heter L'Achar Mikan, even though after a while, after the prohibition period passes, she becomes Muteres, B'Shas Isura B'Kores, when she is forbidden, when the 7 days have not lapsed. If a man has intimacy with a nida, he is guilty of kores. Af eshesach nami, af al pishishla heter liachar mikan. Even though a brother's wife could be muteres afterwards, when if the brother dies, let us say leaving no children, so she can become muteres. B'chaye baila b'kores, while her husband is alive, she is punished. She is the source of a kores penalty, and we indicated that means even if the one's brother divorces his wife, but he's still around, she is also to the tune of kores. So that's what I learn from the word nida in the case of Eshesach, brother's wife. Now, in the course of this Gemara, as everyone noticed, we skipped a couple of sections, so we have to go back over it. What we did accomplish is to read the Gemara in its full, final version without encountering the inaccuracies. Let us go over the Gemara again now. The Gemara had, we're going back to where the double underline appears under the word Nida. V'ela nida d'ksiva gabi eishes ach lomali. So the Gemara answers, l'ch Rav Huna, I need it for Rav Huna's teaching. V'yom Rav Huna, remez li'avama min ha-Torah minai. Where is there a hint in the Torah to the mitzvah of Yibum? So the Gemara asks, what kind of question is that? Minayin? From where is there a hint? Ha-ksiv yavama yavo aleha. There's an explicit pasuk that says that if one's brother dies leaving a widow without his leaving having had no children, so you, the surviving brother, are to take her. That's an explicit pasuk. It's not some type of hint to it. So what's the role of nida written by Eshesach? Ela, rather, remez liyavama shasura b'chaybayla minayin. From where do we know that the yavama, the sister-in-law's usher, while her husband is alive? And we pointed out that that means that even if he divorced, even if your brother divorced her, she remains also. From where do we know that? Now, in the brackets, we have some markings on the side under our, we have a tat no se, that's subtopic heading, din shel Rav Huna, remez li yavama, shasura b'chai baila, im girsha achiv, minayim. Then, you can see that we've used a dashed underlining in the Gemara, you'll see this, Havlotas abitui b'chaye baila, tezu ikur hadiyun. We're going to be highlighting that expression while her husband is alive. That's the main aspect of this discussion. The triangles that appear are a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. Halos efsharus lilmoid ho'isur mi svara. The triangle pointing up is where the Gemara tries to show that you can learn this prohibition through logic. The inverted triangle is a dechiyasa, is a rejection of that. So right now we're focusing on from the issue of from where do we know that a sister-in-law is usur as long as your brother is alive. So the Gemara answers, hi, svara, he. I don't need the pasuk of nida, I could figure that out from a svara. Midama rachmana, from the fact that the Torah says, the achar mises bailo sharia, that upon the death of her husband, she is mutter. Of course, if the husband, in this case your brother, left no children. So michlal, the b'chaye bailo asur, we can infer from that, from the very parsha of Yibum, that as long as the brother is still alive, she is prohibited. And as we said, even if he divorced her. The Gemara rejects this. The Dilma, as far as if you're going to focus on logic, I can suggest an alternative form of logic. The Dilma, the Achar Mises Baila, Mitzvah. The Chai Baila, Rishus. Maybe there is, of course, room for making a contrast between Chai Baila and after his death. Maybe things are as follows, that after his death, so the Torah says there's a mitzvah. While he is alive, reshus, it's something that's optional. Maybe she is allowed as on an optional basis. Inami, the achar misas baila in, b'chai baila lo, or possibly it's true the Torah says that after the brother dies, you can marry your sister-in-law, his widow. That's true. To derive the prohibition while he's alive, you have to employ inference. So it could be that the approach to the pasuk is that after the husband dies, after your brother dies, the wife is muteres. When he is alive, she is not. The wife, she might be a divorcee, she's not alive. So we're inferring the negative from the positive. The positive meaning, after his death, you should marry her. While he's alive, do not marry her. The lav habo michlal asay equals asay. A negative that is derived through the positive, through inferring from the positive, legally speaking, it's categorized as a positive command. And as such, there would be no kores to it. So that if you're going to tell me that nida written by Eishes Ach is to come to the conclusion that while he is alive, so the wife is forbidden, but when he dies, she is muteres. That method of deriving things would not be effective, because the result is that she would be only a positive command. A negative, that which is negative derived from positive has the status of positive. And that would not reflect kares, which in fact is the punishment associated with eshes ach. Therefore, Omar Kro, I need a pasuk to tell me this. The ish asher yikach es eshes achiv nida hi. V'chi eshes achiv nida hi. The pasuk says that when you take your sister-in-law, your brother's wife, well, she is a nida. Is that necessarily the case? Ella kenida, rather, she's like a nida. Ma nida, afal pi sheyesh la heter liachar mikan, b'shas yisur b'kareis. The nature of nida is that even though eventually she becomes allowed, but when she is prohibited, she's prohibited to the tune of a kareis. It's a very high-level violation to have relations with a nida. Af eshes ach nami. So too, the same can be said about eshes ach. Afal pi sheyesh la heter liachar mikan, even though one's sister-in-law could become uteris after one's brother dies, b'chaye b'ayla b'koreis, when he is alive, so she is strictly forbidden, and not only that, but could be punished by a brother-in-law having relations with his sister-in-law, even if she was divorced from his brother, carries with it a koreis penalty. So with this understanding, with this the din of Rav Huna, I understand the role of nida by eshes ach. In simple terms, the role of nida by eshes ach is telling me something specific to the realm of eshes ach. It's not like we thought earlier that it would serve as a source for he'arora by all kinds of other forbidden women. V'ela he'arora d'ksiva gabi. Achos av achos aim lomali. Once we said that the status of Ha'ara is derived from the case of Nida and the fact that the Torah compares all other forbidden relations to Nida, why does the Torah trouble itself to use the word Ha'ara by achos av and achos aim? Achos av is one's father's sister and one's achos aim, one's mother's sister. Answer, lichadavo amine ravino May Rava. The answer to this question is revealed through Ravino's question that he poses to Rava, and the Gemara will explain itself as we go on. Hama'ara bezochur mahu. Ravino asks Rava, what would be, and this is a homosexual relationship, so one who does ha'ara bezochur. So is that really what Ravino is asking of Rava? Bezochur, mishkevei isha ksiva. The Torah says that, or describes homosexual relations as mishkevei isha, and that means just like intimacy with a woman is something that is accomplished, can be accomplished. And in most cases, it's quite forbidden. So too, with regard to the male, male couple. So that if, and once we've established that he'ora is a problem by women, so it will be a problem by two men as well. Elo hama'ara b'vehemo mahu. What about he'ora done with an animal? If homosexuality is not disgusting enough, then this is all the more horrific, but halacha has to deal with it. If a person does hara with a behemoth, what is the din? Omar Lay, Rava answers, in Eino Inyan La Ra, Tiksivo Gabi Achosava Achosem, if there is no real purpose in writing hara by Achosav and Achosem, by one's father's sister or mother's sister, the asya behekesha midereb yona, as far as he'ora is being a problem by achosav and achosem, that's derived through the hekish that Rabbi Yona introduced above. So what does he'ora do scripturally when it's written by achosav and achosem? So teneu inyan la'ora de behema. Then have he'ora that's written by Achosav and Achosem reveal that Haor with a behema is something that is forbidden. As far as Haor with Achos Av and Achos Eim themselves, that is understood to be usher, even without the fact that Haor is written by them, but by virtue of the fact that they're compared to all other relatives, as we saw above in the name of Rabbi Yonah. So what we have seen is that the word He'ora, written in the Torah by Achos Av and Achos Eim, is the source of He'ora by Behemah. That if a person would have a partial insertion with an animal, he would be guilty of bestiality. The Gemara asks, Michti, behema equals chayve misois based in who? A man who engages in bestiality is subject to court execution. My taimo ksiv leha'ora dito gabi chayve krisus. Why does the Torah write the reference to bestiality in the context of a forbidden relationship that's not punishable by court execution, namely father's brother, that's father's sister, mother's sister? Those are chayvei krisus, punishable only by kores. Lichtoiv gabi misos bezdin. Let the Torah have written he'ora by some other like example of misas bezdin, some other punishable offense by court execution. V'neilif misas bezdin mi misas bezdin, and then I would be deriving something else, namely he'ora by behema, from something of a similar nature, another misas bezdin. The Gemara answers, Aidi dekule kra ledrasha asi kosiv be nami ha milsa ledrasha. Since the whole pasuk concerning Achos Av v'Achos Eim is, we'll call it a superfluous pasuk, an extra pasuk, and its presence, its entire presence, is for drosha purposes, for expansion into other matters, so too this as well. My drosha. What is the drosha that was just referred to? On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei topic heading, Achos Av She'asura. When we speak about the father's sister as being prohibited, Davka Shehi Achos Aviv Min Ho'av, is it when she is a father's sister because of their having a common father, only gam im hi achos oviv min ho'eim, or is there a prohibition of father sister even if they have only a mother in common? So in the larger picture, we're talking about our interest in knowing about the grandparent. A person's son is having, in this case, relations with his father's sister. How is it his father's sister? Is it because the father and his sister have a common father? Or even if they have only a common mother, that would be enough. That's what the Gemara is going to analyze. The Gemara continues. My drasha. What is the drasha? We said that the pasuk of Achos Av and Achos Eim was for drasha purposes. So let's see, what is that drasha? Disanya. Now here we open up with a pasuk from Parshas Achrimos. That's Vayikra, Perek Yud Ches. We should note, just by the way, that when we made reference on Nun Dalam and Aleph, meaning on our previous Omid, to the prohibition of Achos Av and Achos Eim, we were referencing a pasuk in Vayikra Perek Chof and Parshas Kedoshim. So, the pasuk in Achrimos says, "Ervas Achos Avicha Lo Sigale," and the Brisa opens up with a deliberation. Are we to understand Bein Min Ho'av, Bein Min Ho'aim, that it's a father's sister, whether it be from a common father or a common mother? Ata Oimer Bein Min Ho'av, Bein Min Ho'aim, O Eino Elo Min Ho'av V'lo Min Ho'aim. Or maybe it's a sister because your father and this woman have a common father, but there wouldn't be a kores penalty if all they had was a common mother. In order to illustrate these family relations, we have a little diagram on the side where we indicate Achos Aviv, so you can see where we've circled the word Achos, those are sisters, and in the middle there's an Av, a father, and under that you see Ben. So we're interested in defining the prohibition between that Ben and his father's sister. On the one hand, you can see a father's sister because they have a common mother. That's on the right-hand side. That's an Achos Min Ho'aim. On the left-hand circle, that's a father's sister because they have a common father. So now let's continue with trying to resolve this. V'dinhu. Dinhu indicates, let's apply logic. Chiev kan, the Torah is mechayev on father's sister here. Mechayev v'achoso. One is also guilty if he has relations with his own sister. Ma achoso bein min ho'av bein min ho'aim. Just like one's own sister, she is forbidden whether you have a common father or you have only a common mother with her. The Rashi quotes the pasuk for one's own sister. It says, bas avicha oi bas imcha. So just like one's own sister, it is forbidden whether it's from a common father or even from a common mother. So af kan bein min ho'av bein min ho'aim. So too when it comes to father's sister, the same applies. Oy klach l'derechzu, or maybe go in this direction. Chiev kan v'chayev b'doidosai. The Torah is mechayev, tells us there's an issur, there's a prohibition of father's sister, and the Torah also tells us a prohibition known as doidoso. What is doidoso? Doidoso is the wife of one's father's brother. So it's the wife of one's father's brother. That particular prohibition applies only, you'll see, if it's a father's brother from a common father, not from a common mother. Ma doidosoi min ho'av lo min ho'aim. It's the wife of one's father's brother, but only if they have a common father. But if it's a father's brother because they have a common mother, then the wife of that brother would not be prohibited on the grounds of doidosoi. Af kan, so just like we say, by dodoso, it's because they have a common father and not a common mother. Afkan, so too when it comes to father's sister. By the way, not to confuse father's sister with father's brother's wife. They're two different women. So too when it comes to father's sister, maybe mino avalo mino aim. So we continue. Next stage of analysis. Nira lemi doima. Let's see to whom issue of father's sister is more similar. Donin isur habo me'elov, me isur habo me'elov. Maybe we should derive a prohibition that comes without anyone taking initiative. In other words, a father's sister is an iser habo me'elov. Your father didn't have to do anything to make her usher. And I'll derive that from the din of achosa, your own sister. You didn't have to do anything to make her usher. Just the fact that you were born and she was born, that's it. The al tochiach dodoso, and don't let the case of dodoso prove the matter of father sister. That's different. She'ein isur habo me'elov. Dodoso is not an automatic prohibition. It's she is forbidden only because your father's brother took the initiative of marrying her. It's an issur that comes through kiddushin, through marriage, and not through simple automatic family relations. So, according to this approach, I'm going to learn father's brother from your own. We're going to derive father's sister from the rules that apply to your own sister. And that would tell us bein min ha'av, bein min ha'ein, whether it's common, there's a common father, or even if there's just a common mother. Or maybe let us apply a different logic. Donin kroyvei ha'av, mikroyvei ha'av. Let us derive rules regarding father's sister, which is a relative of father, from other known father's relatives, your father's brother's wife. Dodoso, the al tochiach achoso shekrovei atzmo, and do not allow achoso to prove the matter, because that's your own relative. That's she's related to you directly, not because it's a relative of your father. Talmud lomar. So as a result of logic, you see that we made no progress, because each time we were saying that you could look at it this way or you can look at it that way. Therefore, we need a pasuk to settle the matter. Talmud loimar. And here we have a pasuk from Parshas Kedoshim, the pasuk we cited on Amud Aleph, where Heorah appeared. It says, Ervas achos avicha lo sigale. And from this we say, Bein min ho'av, bein min ho'em. So that your father's sister, even if they have only a common mother, that's enough to create the prohibition. Ervas achos imcha lo sigale. And here's another relative, a new relative, your mother's sister. You shall not have intimacy with her either. Bein min ho'av, bein min ho'em. The mother's sister is prohibited, whether it's a sister because they have a common father, or even if they have just a common mother. The Gemara asks, Loma li lemichtiva v'achos av, loma li lemichtiva v'achos em. Why does the Torah have to spell out that, we'll say, parents' sister is prohibited, and has to spell out by both father's sister and by mother's sister? Omar Rabbi Avo, Srichi. I need them to be spelled out. The Ikos of Rahmona Bachosav, had the Torah written only father's sister, Shekein Yeshlo Chayis, because family association is determined by father. And that's based on a pasuk. If you see right across from here, Rashi cites this pasuk. Yesh lo chayis, the mishpachas av kruya mishpacha. The word mishpacha, if you translate it as family, so it's only father's family that is titled by the term mishpacha. Dechti vayisyaldu al mishpachoysom leveis avoysom. So had the Torah inform me of the prohibition of father's sister, I would have thought that that is the only parent sister that's prohibited. But mother's sister, maybe not. Emolo, I would say not. It's not prohibited. Because of Rachman Abachos Aim, had the Torah written that one's mother's sister is prohibited, Shekein Vadoyis, because you can know with certainty who your mother is. People can be witness when you are born and coming forth from that particular woman. Avol Achois Av Emolo. No one can know with certainty that one's father is in fact one's father. So the sister of that man, of what you think is your father, maybe it's she's not. Sricha. Therefore, the Torah has to tell me, even by father's sister is also prohibited. Now we focus on the relative known as Dodoso, one's father's brother's wife. She was referenced above. You can see we have a little star that you can connect this where we saw it earlier. The Dodoso, the Pshita Le Latana, the Minoav, Velo Minoim, Minole. We said above in the Brisa that Dodoso is a problem. Father's brother's wife is a problem only if it's the wife of one's father's brother, because they have a common father, not a common mother. How does the Tana, the author of that Tanaic source, know this? Omar Rava, Asya, Doidoi, Doidoi. There's a word comparison that leads us to this conclusion. Sivacha Ervas, Dodo, Gila. That's what it says regarding the Erva of Doidoso. Uksiv Hasam. It says elsewhere. This has to do with this other pasuk has to do with a Jew that had been sold to a Gentile family to be enslaved to them. The Torah speaks about his being redeemed, that the Jew's family redeems him from his servitude. So it says in that context, oi doi doi, oi ben doi doi, yigolenu. Whether it's dodo or it's ben dodo, redeem him from his servitude. Ma lahalon mino ablo minein. Just like in that parshan, that section that deals with redemption from servitude, it's a relative because they have a common father, not a common mother. Afkan mino av velo min ha'ein. So too in the case of Arias in the forbidden relations, it's a wife of one's father's brother because they have a common father, not because of a common mother. The Hasa min olan. And there in the parsha of redemption from servitude, how do you know that those relatives of Dodo, which is a father's brother or father's brother's child, it's because your father and he have a common father alone and not common mother. The Hasa min olan, how do you know? And there, how do you know that? Omar Kro mi mishpachtoi yigolenu. That is has to do with a member of one's mishpacha will redeem him. And we know mishpachas av kruya mishpacha, mishpachas aim eino kruya mishpacha. And that we saw before in the Rashi that we read, where it said the mishpacha isam levesa voisam. That the concept or the institution of mishpacha is when it's from your father's side, not your mother's side. The Hadisnan. We have a Tanaic source that presents a case dealing with Achos Ishto, one's wife's sister. Since we're discussing sisterhood, so now we'll talk a little bit about one's wife's sister. The case itself will be self-explanatory as we go on. Omrulo, a man was informed, Mesa Ishtacha, your wife died. Vinasa Achosa Me'aviha.
and you went and had a married your wife's sister, that your wife and this woman have a common father. Two women born from common father but different mothers. Mesa, then he was told, she died. Venosa, Achosa, Neima. And then you married her sister that have together a common mother. Mesa, Venosa, Achosa, Meavia. And then he was informed she died. When he married her sister from a common father. Mesa, and then he was told that she died. Venosa, Achosa, Meima. And then he was, and then he went and married her sister through a common mother. And now, the main aspect of this story is not in the words, but you have to, and we wrote it between the lines. They then informed him that all the women are alive. To appreciate this, Rashi explains in detail with names the example. We have a little chart under the. On the lower part of the page, you can see numbers underneath women's names, Milka, Rivka, Sarah, Chevendina. Those are women 1 through 5 that a man marries. So a man had married Milka, and he had, was informed that she died. He then went and married Rivka. Now, Rivka and Milka have a common father. That's Achosa May Avia. And then when he was informed that Rivka died, he went ahead and married Sarah. Sarah and Rivka have a common mother, and so on and so forth. Then it's revealed that all the women are still alive. The Brisa goes on, Mutar Borishona Ubishlishis Ubachamishis. He is allowed to remain with Milka, Sarah, and Dinah. Those are numbers 1, 3, and 5. You'll notice if you concentrate on the chart that lady number 1 and number 3 are not related to one another whatsoever. So he had married Milka and she's still alive. There was nothing preventing him from the outset of ever marrying Sarah. The marriage to Rivka never took effect because Rivka was Malka's sister. You can't marry your wife's sister. But the marriage to Sarah was legitimate. The marriage to Yocheved was not legitimate because she is Sarah's sister. But Dina was okay. Dina is not related whatsoever to Sarah. The Brisa goes on to tell us Upotros Sorosehen, and Rashi explains this on the bottom line, Upotros Sorosehen, Imes V'choltsu Ho'achim La'achas Mehen, Potros Sorosehen. On the chart, we don't have the man that married them, but if that man who married these women dies, so his brother can do Chalitza with one of them, and the rest are released. They're all co-wives of his brother. So that Potros Sorosehen means the Chalitza done with one of them will free the co-wives to marry whomever they want. The Oser Bishni of Revius, and women 2 and 4 in our example are forbidden. As we explained, those are sisters to your wife. V'ein bias achas mehen poteras sorosa. And in the event that the fellow who married them dies, and he has a surviving brother, and he has relations with 2 or with 4, that will not release the other women from their yibum connection, because the women 2 and 4 are women that the deceased brother should not have married in the first place. There was no tefisas kedushin. They weren't his wives. So the surviving brother who does yibum or intimacy with them is not doing intimacy with his deceased brother's wife at all. Ve'im bo al hashniya li'achar misas harishona muter b'shniya b'ravias. If he would, if let us say that woman number one really died, and he then married woman number two, so that is a good marriage, and he would be allowed to be with Rivka and with Yocheved number four. And that's what the Braisa means when it says Mutar Bishnir Ravias Upotro Sorosan. And as we explained before, if after he legitimately married Rivka and Yocheved, relations by the surviving brother with one of them, or let's say Chalitza done with one of them, would release the other. The Osir Bishlishis Ubachamishis. After marrying two, he can't marry three. And after having married four, he wouldn't be allowed to marry five. Now, what do we see in this story? The Gemara continues at the top of Nun Hei Amud Aleph. Alma, we see from this, Achois Ishto, when we speak about one's wife's sister. It could be your wife's sister, Bein Mino Av, Bein Mino Aim, Asuros, whether it's a sister because your wife and her sister have a common father, or even if they have just a common mother, they are forbidden. You can't marry your wife's sister under any circumstance. Minolon. So from where do we know that? Yolif me achoso. We will learn the din that regard that has relevance to your wife's sister from the din that regards your own sister. Ma achoisei bein minoav bein minoim. Just like your own sister is forbidden, whether it's because you have a common father or you have just a common mother. Afkan, so too with regard to wife's sister, bein minoav bein minoim. Your wife's sister will be also, even if they are sisters only because they have a common mother or if they have a common father. Let us emphasize, even if they have just a common mother. Question, the Leilif mi doidosoi, why not learn the halacha of wife's sister from the halacha of doidoso? Ma doidosoi mino av alo mino aim. We spent time on Nun Dalid Amud Beis showing, demonstrating this, that doidoso is one's father's brother's wife. She is a forbidden relative only if it's your father's brother through a common father, not a common mother. Af kan, so too when it comes to your wife's sister, min ho'av v'lo min ho'aim. So let dodoso be the precedent for wife's sister. The Gemara responds, mistabro me'achoisei havelei le'melaf. It's more likely that we will learn the din of wife's sister from the din of your sister. Shekein krovei atzmoi mikrovei atzmoi, because they you have a commonality between your own sister and your wife's sister. So just they are your own relatives. They're relatives. They're forbidden through you, not through your father. There's a Rashi, four lines from the top, where there's a star appears. Achos isha, krovei atzmo choshiv la. Your wife's sister is considered your own relative. She machmas atzmo ne'esra olav. She became also because of something you did. Velo machmas oviv. And not something that your father had done. Ulafuke dodosoi, to the exclusion of that woman, the dodosoi, the kroivas oviv he. She is a relative that's also to, but through your father. Let's continue in the Gemara. Adarabo, the squiggle underlined word at the end of the line, Adarabo, midoidoso havilema. Adarabo means to the contrary. Learn the din of wife's sister from doidoso. What do they have in common? Shekein dovar ayadei kidushin, midovar ayadei kidushin. Both of those became also because marriage was done. Your wife's sister is a problem because you married your wife. Your father's brother's wife is also because your father's brother married her. So they have that in common, whereas your own sister isn't a function of marriage. Elo me'eshes ach yalfinon. Rather, we're going to learn your wife's sister from the din concerning your brother's wife. What is the din of your brother's wife? Well, your brother's wife is also, whether it's a brother to you through a common father, or even if it's a brother to you through a common mother. To Shekane, what is the advantage of learning from brother's wife, Eshesach, to the case that we are dealing with, wife sister? Shekane, the Shekane Dover Ayadei Kiddushin, both of these relatives have in common that they became usher through the act of Kiddushin, the act of marriage, not through mere birth. Ukroive Atzmo, and Eshesach, it's your brother's wife, is considered your own relative. Like one's wife's sister, it's your own relative, and not through one's father. The Gemara, as it continues, it's a rather long discussion, continues with regard to this new relative called Eshes Ach Gufa Min Alon. When we speak about your wife, brother's wife, it's your brother, whether you have a common father or even if you have just a common mother. That man's wife, your brother's wife, will be forbidden. And how do we know that? So that will be the Hemshech of the Gemara. So hopefully what we're saying now serves as an introduction, as a lead into the next shiur. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.